Today on Bold Steps, Mark Job asks the question, who's in control?
Just because you don't see anything happen in your life right now, it doesn't mean that God is forgotten. It may mean that God has given you a season of grace in which you have an opportunity to repent, but there's a window. That window will close before God brings discipline also on our lives.
Welcome to Bold Steps with Mark Job, president of Moody Bible Institute, and also the senior pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. I'm Wayne Shepherd. Well, whether it's the electoral process or political parties or just about anything else around us, it takes some bold steps to move past uncertainty and trust that God is in control over everything. Mark, sometimes if we're honest, though, we have to ask, is he really in control? Because it just seems so random right now.
It does, Wayne, but ultimately, God is sovereign, which means that he has all power over all things, and he's immutable, which means he never changes. So God is in control and has always been in control, although he allows men free will. But you know what, Wayne? This message is going to speak to some people's hearts. I'm convinced, because in this message, we talk about the insanity cycle, and the insanity cycle is when we think that we are actually in control.
Oh, yeah, right.
And, you know, a lot of us have this delusion that we're in control, and God has to put us in our place. And so this is an awakening from a very powerful man that thought he had control and how God had to recalibrate his life.
Well, I can't wait to get started, so let's do it. Our message is titled, Who is in Control? Here's Mark Job.
Daniel chapter 4 is a powerful, powerful passage that speaks to who is in control. Some of you have heard this story, but let me just tell you my battle with who was in control that happened at the beginning of my ministry. I started pastoring this church when I was 21 years old. I was not yet married. I had just graduated from college, and I had a lot of learning to do. And so I stepped into a church that had about 18 people, a very small budget in the inner city of Chicago. But I had this sense that God had called me. And so I jumped in feeling like, God, you've called me. I'm going to roll up my sleeves and I'm going to change lives and I'm going to help heal marriages and I'm going to make a difference for the kingdom of God. And so I jumped in and I was running from early in the morning to late at night. And I wasn't even married and I was doing marriage counseling for people that had been married for 20 years and discipling people and mentoring people and reaching out to people and visiting people's houses. And about 3 months into this, I fell sick. Now, I didn't even have my own apartment. Someone had loaned me a office room in the back of their office, and I had a mattress on the floor and mouse traps around my mattress because there's little critters. And I fell sick, and I was just could not barely get up. I had a fever. I couldn't swallow. I didn't have health insurance, and so my grandma's doctor said she would see me. And so I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, young man, you're exhausted. You're physically exhausted. You need to rest, or this could be very challenging to your health. And I remember going to my grandmother's house, who lives in Indiana at the time, and sitting on her flower-covered couch, laying on it actually, feeling terrible, having a fever, and moaning before God. How many of you know sometimes we don't pray, we moan? And I was moaning before God, saying, God, you've called me, I'm doing this work, and why am I sick? These people need me, and I can't believe that I'm sick and I can't get up. And the Spirit of God convicted me very strongly and deeply. And I felt the Spirit of God saying to me, you are not the Messiah. I am. And I realized that I had been playing the role of Messiah. I thought that I could change people. I thought that I could heal people. I thought that I could save people. And God had to remind me, I am not in control. I am a steward, a vessel, but ultimately heaven rules and God is in control. It was a turning moment in my ministry. I'd only been pastoring about 3 months, but it radically changed the way I did ministry. When I finally got on my knees, I wept before God. I repented for believing that I could change people, that I had power to alter people's destiny. And I realized I had taken the place of God, that there is a Messiah and He is in control. Well, Daniel chapter 4 is a compelling, powerful passage that speaks to the heart of a ruler by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar had fallen into what I call a cycle of insanity. There's a lot of us that live in a cycle of insanity in which we think that we control our destiny, that we believe that we have more power than what we have, and that we have taken on a place that really only God should have. We believe that we are actually in control. And so I want you to hear this message because I believe that many of us need to break the cycle of insanity, thinking that we are in control or thinking that we have a place that really only God can have. And so I want to summarize, if you take your Bible to Daniel chapter 4, there's a king by the name of Nebuchadnezzar, who's the king of what was then ancient Babylon, which is now current day Iraq. And those of you that are familiar with biblical history or the Old Testament, you'll recognize that name of Nebuchadnezzar, who was a historic figure that really at one time was the most powerful king on earth, leading the Persian Mede Empire. He married the daughter of one of the other kings and formed a conglomerate that would dominate the world. But part of what Nebuchadnezzar did is he would invade the surrounding countryside and overtake those government, destroy it, and bring the pillage back to Babylon, which was the center of the civilization at that time. Well, in one of his conquests, Nebuchadnezzar and his army overcame and took over Jerusalem, which was in Judah. So he overtook the Jewish people. They invaded Jerusalem. It was based on a judgment of God because the people of Israel had sort of scattered away from God. And so they tore down the temple. They tore down the walls. They ransacked the temple and everything that was in Jerusalem of any value. And they took back to Babylon the most educated, the brightest, the elite, basically, of Babylon, who they thought had potential. Among them was a man by the name of Daniel, who was taken as a slave from Jerusalem to Babylon under the rule of Nebuchadnezzar. Well, it's a bit of a long story, so I'm not going to tell you the whole story. But Daniel, through inspired by the power of the Spirit of God, had the ability to interpret dreams. And he showed himself as a powerful interpreter of dreams through the Spirit of God. And he got the attention of Nebuchadnezzar, the first dream that he had. Then as Daniel was moving upwards in the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar, known as a man that had the power to interpret dreams, Nebuchadnezzar had another dream. And in his dream, he called it a vision or a dream. And he was awake and he saw this vision of a huge, large tree. And there was a lot of fruit in this tree. And this tree was magnificent. And it could be seen from all over the place. And animals were under this tree. And it was this magnificent tree like you had never seen before. And then he saw a messenger of God come. And that messenger of God cut down the tree. The tree fell over and he left the stump. And the messenger said, I will leave the stump there for 7 seasons until you acknowledge that heaven rules. Well, Nebuchadnezzar didn't know what it meant, and so he came to Daniel. And Daniel, the prophet, said to Nebuchadnezzar, the stump in verse 26 of Daniel chapter 4, he's interpreting the dream to Nebuchadnezzar, and he says, the command to leave the stump of the tree with its roots means that your kingdom will be restored to you when you acknowledge that heaven rules. Verse 27, therefore, your majesty, please accept my advice, renounce your sins from doing what and start doing what is right, and your wickedness by being kind to the oppressed. It may be that your prosperity will continue. So Daniel tells Nebuchadnezzar that judgment is going to come upon him unless he acknowledges that heaven rules. Nebuchadnezzar was an egomaniac, a self-applauding, a vainglorious king that believed that all his accomplishments were because of his own might and his own power. And so Daniel warned him, and for about 12 months, he kept himself in check. By the way, can I tell you that sometimes God will raise up a prophet or a prophetic word, or he'll convict us about something, and he gives us a season, listen, a season of grace for us to repent. But when we don't repent, then he has to, if we don't bend, he has to break us. And so I don't want you to ignore the voice of God that brings conviction. And just because you don't see anything happen in your life right now, it doesn't mean that God is forgotten. It may mean that God has given you a season of grace in which you have an opportunity to repent, but there's a window. That window will close before God brings discipline also on our lives. And so I want to talk to you about how to break the cycle of insanity that we see exposed to us in this passage of Daniel chapter 4. So if you're taking notes today, I want you to, maybe you're living a cycle of insanity right now, that you think that you have more power, more control, that you haven't really given much glory to God, that you're living a cycle of insanity where, like I was when I was 21 years old, that thought I deserved more power, deserved more glory, had more power than when I had, and I wasn't acknowledging that heaven rules. So number one, write this down. This insanity cycle is set in motion when we think that we deserve that which ultimately belongs to God.
Well, let's pause our message with Mark Job right there for just a moment and remind you that coming up in 2022, actually in the month of May, Mark Job and Dr. Michael Radelnik will be going to Israel. And Mark, we want to invite some of our Bold Steps listeners to join you.
This is a trip of a lifetime. The end of May, beginning of June, about 10 days. Dr. Michael Radelnik, the expert in all things Jewish. Boy, if you haven't been to Israel with Michael Radelnik, then you haven't been to Israel.
I can tell you're excited about this.
Oh, yes. It is a phenomenal experience. If you've never been to Israel, this will be life transformative when you read Scripture. I would love to have some Bold Step listeners join us on the trip as well.
All right. And if you'd like more information right now, you can go to boldstepsradio.org, click on the banner there, and you'll find the dates for the trip, May 21 through June 1, and all the details to sign up. And we anticipate this being very popular, Mark, so we encourage our listeners to go there soon and check out the information and sign up.
Yes, seats are going rapidly, so if you want to go on this trip, I would encourage you jump on the website and make sure you do this fast, because I'm not sure how many more seats are available.
All right, thanks for that pause in Mark's message today, but let's get back into the insanity cycle now and stop the progress of that cycle. Here's Mark.
It tells us in verse 28, all this happened to King Nebuchadnezzar 12 months later. As the king was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon, he said, is not this the great Babylon that I have built as the royal residence? By my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty. One evening, as Nebuchadnezzar, he had been warned 12 months earlier, you need to acknowledge that heaven rules. But he quickly forgot about it. And one day he's walking on the balcony, he's looking over his magnificent kingdom, and he says to himself, is not this what I have built with my power, for my glory. I want you to notice, I have built my power, my glory. By the way, the British Museum, there are six columns. There's six columns of writing recovered from Babylon, which describe the huge building projects that Nebuchadnezzar, in his zeal to enlarge and beautify the city, had engaged in. It was, some people think that the gardens that he built, supposedly for his wife, should have been considered the seventh wonder of the world. So he had a lot to brag about, but he was taking the glory to himself. Now, how do you know? What are the characteristics of someone that may be living in pride that leads to the insanity cycle? I want you to remember this. You may be in an insanity cycle right now, not even realize that you are in this cycle. Well, when we're in this cycle, we're unwilling to take advice. We typically are not willing to apologize. We're self-centered in our view of life. We do not recognize our mistakes. We think that our way is always the best. We look down on other people. We always want to be the center of attention. We do not follow leadership willingly. We do not like to give others credit. And we like to take all the glory for ourselves. If those apply to you, the majority, you could well be in a cycle of insanity. And God had warned him and told Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar, you have an opportunity to repent of this. Renounce your sins. And notice he tells him that he needs to pay attention to the little people, the poor, the oppressed, the homeless, the widows. He says, how you have oppressed people. And so how we treat the people that other people in society may not view as consequential, I think says a lot about who we are. When I see a person treat a waitress or a waiter or a table servant in a demeaning way, when I see someone talk down to a maid or someone that's at a McDonald's window serving hamburgers, when I see them treat them in belittling comments and harsh criticism or demean them, it always, to me, speaks about that person's character. C.S. Lewis said, pride is spiritual cancer. It eats up the very possibility of love or contentment or even common sense. Number two, I'm talking about breaking the insanity cycle in our lives. Not only is it set in motion when we try to take credit for that which belongs to God, but secondly, the insanity cycle gives way to a state of spiritual madness unless we stop the progress. In verse 31 of Daniel chapter 4, it says, even as these words were on his lips, the words of Nebuchadnezzar touting his glory and bragging about his accomplishments, even as these words were on his lips, a voice came from heaven. This is what the voice said, this is what is decreed for you, King Nebuchadnezzar. Your royal authority has been taken from you. You will be driven away from people and will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like an ox. Seven times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over all the kingdoms of the earth and give them to anyone that he wishes. So he's out bragging about himself, gloating about what he's done. And then suddenly a voice from heaven that had warned him before, you have a time to repent. And when he didn't repent, the voice said, you're living in insanity, believing that this is all yours. Well, if you're living in that sort of delusional insanity, then you will actually become insane. And the Bible tells us in verse 33, immediately. How many of you know that God can change the course of your life immediately? Go ahead, say the word immediately. It means that in a moment, right now, without waiting, what had been said about Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. Listen, immediately he went from gloating about what he had done, the insanity, the madness of thinking that he had done it in his own power. And he was driven away from people and ate grass like an ox. His body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair grew like the feathers of an eagle and his nails like the claws of a bird. Immediately after he had boasted, immediately he was humbled. We don't know exactly what happened to him, but it appears that he lost his mind. And now he was had the mind of an animal. No longer could he think. Suddenly he went from being the greatest king on earth to being a state of an animal-like existence where he would be loosed in the royal gardens there, and he would eat grass like an animal. He couldn't speak. His hair grew, his nails grew, so he was like a wild beast. And he lived in that manner as the palace took care of him, but he lost his mind. And I want to say that I believe that we need to be aware that our circumstances, when we live in the insanity of believing that the glory belongs to us, live in the insanity of not giving God his proper credit. When we live in the insanity, the delusion of believing that we're in control, that we have control, that God can immediately turn the circumstances around. Immediately, there can be a car crash that changes your destiny. Immediately, your business can go bankrupt. Immediately, you can get a bad report from the doctor and know that you only have 3 months to live. Immediately, your circumstance can change immediately. I want you to know that God is not limited. Immediately, things can happen. What is the insanity that he embraced? Well, God is saying, you're going to have to live in this place. Most scholars believe it's seven seasons. It's talking about 7 years. That you're going to have to be 7 years until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign, it says. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18 says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. He said, you're going to live this way for seven seasons until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign. What does sovereign mean? Sovereign means it's both a noun and a verb. As a verb, it means to rule. As a noun, it means king or absolute ruler. And so God was telling Nebuchadnezzar that you're going to stay in this state until you acknowledge that there is an absolute ruler over your life, that there is someone that has total power over you, and you're not the ultimate power.
Well, we're going to stop there for the day and thank Mark Jobe for this message. And there's much more to cover on this subject, so I hope you'll join us again tomorrow for Bold Steps for the second part of this message, asking the question, who is in control? Now, if you missed any part of this message, let me invite you to catch up right now at boldstepsradio.org. On our list of things we can't live without, hope is one we often forget. And yet, without hope, without real confident assurance of what's ahead, many of us would simply stop moving. Mark?
If you're looking for an inspiring and an emotional pat on the back, there's no shortage of motivational speakers to choose from out there. But to find true, unwavering hope that isn't based on temporary mindset or circumstances, well, that kind of hope is found only in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And to help you dig deeper into how and why the hope of Christ can be trusted, best-selling author Lee Strobel wrote a book called The Case for Hope, Looking Ahead with Confidence and Courage. To request your copy of this empowering resource, reach out today. Once again, the book is called The Case for Hope, Looking Ahead with Confidence and Courage. And it's yours with a gift of any amount to support the ministry of Bold Steps. And then as we celebrate this season of giving, let me just extend a heartfelt thank you, thank you, thank you to everyone who gives to support the ministry of Bold Steps. Your gifts and donations enable us to reach people not only in your local listening area, but all over the country. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
Great. Thank you, Mark. And you can ask for the book, The Case for Hope, when you call 844-615-7363. That's 844-615-7363. Or give online and request the book when you go to boldstepsradio.org. You can also send a one-time gift in the mail by addressing your envelope to Bold Steps, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. I'll give that again. It's 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. And then don't forget, you can always catch Bold Steps and our sister program, Bold Steps Weekend, on your favorite smart device. So no matter where you are and what you're doing, you'll never have to miss a minute of Mark's insightful teaching. Download the Moody Radio app today. Learn more when you visit boldstepsradio.org. I'm Wayne Shepherd. That's all the time we have for today, but be sure to come back tomorrow when Mark continues with the final half of his two-part message, Who is in Control? That's coming up right here, Friday, on Bold Steps with Mark Joe. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.